Want to join with Tim for thanking everyone being out with us this evening. It's always my prayer that the things we study and is from God's word, and it's beneficial to us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can gain encouragement and edification from the things we study. For a little while this evening, I want to talk about being an example. You know, we all know that one way or another, we are an example to family, to church family, to co-workers, to fellow students, to even the strangers we meet in town as we're out running around. Somebody watches and notices how we talk, how we act, and how we respond in different situations. And our study this evening is not a lesson on how to be an example. It's more of a lesson of why we need to be one. What kind of motivation do we have to be a good example? And where do we look for guidance to be a good example? And even though we know that we are examples, why should it be that important to us? There's a couple of things I'm going to look at as we get into this. But the main reason to start with is because we have a command of Jesus that we are to be good examples. John chapter 13, verse 15 simply says, Jesus is saying here, it says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." So Jesus tells us in his own words that this one particular act, which if you study further, you'll understand what it is. But the deal is, the point is that he does things to give us an example. And why do we need an example? Because that's what we're supposed to pattern our lives after. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." I don't have verse 20 in this context right here written down, but I want to pick up verse 20 as well. So verse 20 says, "For what glory is it if when you are buffered for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." And then he says, "For even hereunto were ye called." So the context of this is he's telling them that, you know, if you suffer for evil, then that's just part of what you get. But if you suffer for good, then that's something that you just bear as a burden that you carry with the name of Christ. You know, Jesus tells us that we need to be examples and that we need to pattern our lives, our example, after him and his example. This is where we get guidance from Jesus. This is where we get our guidance from. Jesus' example and God's word, Jesus also admonishes us to have the mindset to be good examples. If we follow Jesus' example to be an example to others, it has to be a good one. Because Jesus never exhibited anything that could be seen as a bad example. You can look all through Scripture, and there's nothing that Jesus ever did that you could consider being a bad example. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know, I could read these verses in Philippians and sit down, because it explains pretty well what being a good example would be. The what we just read in Philippians, we could close the lesson now, because this explains pretty well what a good example would be. It explains that the comfort and love we find in Christ, the fellowship of the Spirit, and God's divine guidance leads us to fulfill their joy by having the same mindset that they have, the same mindset that we see others the way Jesus saw others, that we shouldn't do anything for our own glory, but for the glory of God. We're not to be high-minded, not to be haughty, but we're to be humble. And not just about our own lives, that we spend all our time worrying about our own lives to the exclusion of everybody and everything else around us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, if we can train ourselves to look at life through the eyes and the mindset that Jesus had, then we will succeed. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So as children of God, if we truly have the same mind within us as Jesus did, we'll do our very best to follow his example, looking to be an example, a good example to those around us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, starting in verse 4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." We have to be abiding in Jesus to be able to be a good example. And by us abiding in him, then God gets the glory for the things we do in this world around us. You know, in this group of verses here, he says, "Abide in me." You can't bear fruit of your own. It's like he's the main trunk of the tree. Just let's say a peach tree. Jesus is the main trunk of the peach tree, and we're all the branches out there putting on the fruit. You know, if we're rooted in that peach tree, we're not going to put on apples. We're not going to put on oranges. We're going to put on peaches, because that's where our foundation is. Same applies to us as Christians. If our foundation is rooted as Jesus is the root or the trunk of our tree, then what fruit we produce will be what Jesus would have produced. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." And as we go through this lesson, think about how we act in the world around us. Because we see these things like this, and as we get into the end of the lesson, there's things that I fail miserably at every day, but yet in all things we're supposed to show ourselves a pattern of good works. James chapter 2. Verse 15, 16 says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" So if I come to Tim and I tell him I've lost my job, which I have no job, if I've lost my job, and I'm having trouble buying groceries, paying rent, getting gas for the car or whatever. And he says, "Man, I sure feel sorry for you." Gives you a hug and says, "Boy, I sure hope you get that solved." And then shuts the door in my face. What doth it profit? You know, for us to be a good example, an example of what Jesus would do in this life, we have to look at things the way Jesus would look at in this life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, 18 says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth." We just read James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, where I made the analogy with Tim here. Well, let's pick up a little further context on both sides of that. Let's pick up the verse before and the verse or two after. Starting verse 14, James chapter 2 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." For us to for us to be good example and do things the way Jesus would do things, with the thought process that he has, the same mindset that he has, then we have to have faith in him and the teachings of him and God, and then trust in that, and then show that through the examples that we do in helping others. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We have to be doers of God's word. We can't just be hearers. We can't just sit here on the pew and hear it and then leave the building and not put it into action. It has to be doing things that we hear, and not just hearers only, but putting that hearing into action. What better example of this can we see than Jesus in John chapter 13? "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sit down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Here's that example again, where Jesus is showing us another example. You know, Jesus humbled himself to do such a menial task for them as washing their dirty feet. You know, and that's not like what we do today. You know, we most of the time we wear shoes and socks, so our feet don't actually get all that dirty. But if you traveled and walked everywhere you went in the dirt roads and you just wore sandals, you'd have pretty dirty feet by the end of the day. Jesus washed their feet, showing them the example that even though he was their Lord and Master, that he wasn't too good to wash their feet. That's the example that he set and the example we need to take from that, that we are not too good to or better than that to help those that need help, whatever the case may be. Now I want to shift gears just a little bit here in the lesson. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another." 1 John chapter 2. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abide in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Romans 13, verse 8 through 10 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So you noticed we jumped over into verses about love. First, we were talking about faith, and then we shifted over to love. You know, love for God and love for our fellow man. That's what these last few verses have been talking about. You know, without love, there is no faith. Without love, there's no works. Without love, there's no being a good example. Without love, we will not have an acceptable response to the gospel message to begin with. Without love, there is nothing good. Without love, we don't even care what kind of an example we present to others. So you can see where love motivates us to have faith, to follow Jesus and set the examples that he set. That we can set all the example we want, but as the analogy of the tree and the vines or the branches on the tree, if we're not rooted and grounded in God and his word and Jesus' examples, then what we put out is not going to be acceptable to God. It will not bring joy and glory to God and to Jesus. So we have to pay attention to the things we do to try to be that good example, that we have to have the mindset that Jesus had, and we have to see the world through the eyes that Jesus saw the world through. This is all I have on the PowerPoint. This is not the end of the lesson, though. I want to close with one last reading. And these verses sum up the lesson very well. And as we go through this next group of verses, I want you to pay attention to what it says. Think on the things we've taught in this lesson, and think on how we've acted the last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You can see from 1 Corinthians 13 how well this applies to us being a good example that God expects us to be. And something, as I said, that I fail miserably at every day. There's always something going on that that's why I need 1 Corinthians 13 is something I need to read each and every day and gain the knowledge off of it each and every day. And that's the way we need to be as children of God. Look at things through the eyes and the mindset of Jesus, and then put that to work in our lives. And then realize that love for God and for our fellow man is what motivates every bit of it. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. I pray the things we've studied have been beneficial to you. I'd encourage you to go back again and read 1 Corinthians 13. When you find yourself having weak times in this world, which is every day, several times during the day, because there are things that go on in the world around us that we have no control, things we do have control over, but let's pay attention to things we do have control over, and then use the mindset that Jesus expects us to have to handle those things when they arise. If anyone's subject to gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward, have a seat on the front while we stand and sing the song of insulation.